Good morning, everyone. And here from Finland, and we are now resuming our science of triangles discussions. It's been a little while, and we're still looking towards the possibility of making it a bit more convenient for those who are living in the United States. Right now, it's 1 o'clock in the morning or 12 o'clock in the morning at Central Time and Eastern Time, and late elsewhere too. Well, with the Tibetan, we have been experiencing his focus on these 18 points, which he considers to be filled with very important triangles at this time of human development. And we're going to work today with the especially with the Pisces, Uranus, and hierarchy triangle and its relationship to the triangle of humanity, which is Capricorn, Mercury, humanity. But just before we begin, let us have just a little alignment and one that can take us way out there. The universe, even that part of it we know, is so vast. On the we're part of this Milky Way galaxy, and it is a twin galaxy, or a kind of closely related galaxy to the Andromeda galaxy, and probably to round off the triangle, there would be still one more, and we'd have to see what that might be. But all of these ones about whom naught may be said, when you get to the galactic level, you're certainly dealing with that, as much lesser beings have been called that. And on we could go, but we really have insufficient knowledge to do that. So somehow there we are all very much a part of this Milky Way galaxy, and we've come through an emanative stream into a certain arm of that galaxy, and through this being that we call the one about whom naught may be said. It's a great being indeed, and anything we can know pretty much stops there, and we can't know much. But then, through the different constellations and through certain constellations which are part of the zodiac of 10, and we belong to something called the seven solar systems, of which ours is one. And our solar system is a heart center there. And this heart quality is going to be emanating through other triangles, such as those we see here. Pretty much we have a division between three great constellations: the Great Bear, Sirius, maybe veiling the Little Bear, and the Pleiades. Okay. So, coming forth from our solar logos and attuning with different zodiacal constellations are three great rays, and we see them in the three triangles and the nine points that are in front of us here. I think last time, it was a while ago, maybe a month ago really, we dealt with the triangle that is much related to humanity. And indeed, Mercury, down here, you see, Mercury does rule the fourth creative hierarchy of human monads. And interestingly, Capricorn, the sign of the solar angels, is associated with that. Of course, the sign Scorpio should also be there because it rules the Buddhic plane whereon the human monads do express. But now we're going to go into the kingdom of souls and a more spiritual approach that involves, well, it involves really the Sirius little bear, but the triangle is Pisces, Uranus, and hierarchy. So we'll be most interested to see what DK has to say about that. And I just want to see, as usual, you know, we'll raise our hand when we want to speak. And while I'm going through some of this material, you may have thoughts, ideas, questions. So keep note of those things. And when we conclude today's reading, which will not be long, really, because I plan to confine myself to this particular triangle of Pisces, Uranus, and hierarchy, you can ask anything or discuss anything in relation to the subject or in relation to occultism in general. So I just want to, you know, welcome you all, and Anne and Anna and Anne-Marie and Annette and Antoinette and Ario and Barbara, Catherine, Jean-Pierre, Karen, Carrie, Marianne, Mariut, Martha, Natnia, Nienke, Risto, Tuya. Of course, she's sort of over here on the staff side, but I think it's easier to function right there. She has something to say. Tung Pham Tan, Tan, welcome. It's Vietnam, I'm pretty sure. Vera, Winnie, Zenaide, and Anne, Veronica, and Michael, Stacy, and I are over here on the staff side in case something, you know, goes wrong. So it's a vast system in which we live, and even though our solar system is relatively vast, and our planet too, when you consider it a planetary scheme, those things are dwarfed by the immensity of the one about whom naught may be said, and the various arms of the galaxy in which we live, and the galaxy itself. Apparently, the masters have names and symbols for some of these galaxies, and they know the kind of quality which comes from them. Interesting. I think it might be correct to say that our particular galaxy is in a masculine incarnation, and that the Andromeda galaxy, much like Venus in a way, is in a feminine incarnation. But then what do those things really mean at those very high levels? Now, excuse me. Let's go to the reading, and you know, when it's all over, we're going to have a meditation, little meditation, not the full triangle meditation, but something to remind us of the practical side of things. And where are we here? Right. Okay. So there we are. All right. So this is the 25th, and I think we did not have our 28th meeting on the 28th of December. So, triangle two, and this is triangle two, so let's look at it. Pisces, Uranus, and hierarchy. And, you know, I have here as well all 18 points listed. Let's see. Here it is. Yeah. Here are the 18 points. Okay. And they are all listed in a way that we should be able to see simultaneously. And basically, we're looking here at Pisces zodiacal, Uranus systemic, and hierarchy in relation to Earth, which is the planetary heart center. That's our work for today. Okay. Now, coming back. Okay, Let's see, I want to get this correct. Triangle 2 has been called the triangle of the advanced man. Now, what is an advanced man? From a certain point of view, it can be an individual who has a keen intellect, but and that is the lower side of the advanced man. But when we really start to think of it, he's already beginning to relate to soul energy. And if you look at, it's basically a second-rate triangle here. Pisces is the sign that's part of a cosmic decanate and is related to the Christ above all, just the way the Buddha is related to Taurus and Hercules is related to Scorpio. So the power of the soul begins to come in the life of the truly advanced man. When you have, you can have a selfish advanced individual where the love of the soul is not really making an entrance, but we're talking here about something else. So anyway, the triangle of the advanced man, it is associated with the kingdom of souls. Now we know how the kingdoms go, don't we? If we started from below, we would have the mineral kingdom. This is all on the evolutionary arc. The vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, the human kingdom, the kingdom of souls, the kingdom of planetary lives, and the seventh kingdom would be the kingdom of solar lives. And on the involutionary arc, there are also three involutionary kingdoms having to do with monadic essence, with the raw material out of which things are constructed. So this is associated, this triangle of the advanced man. And of course, we have to learn how to come in touch with these energies associated with the kingdom of souls, with the fifth kingdom in nature, as it is related to the fourth. This is not just a question of this triangle somehow radiating and not reaching the kingdom of humanity and its particular triangle, Capricorn, Mercury, and humanity. No, there's an interplay, and that sixfold interplay is very important. Now, it's not just triangles we're studying. We're studying the combination of triangles. Sometimes it's a combination into six. Sometimes it's a combination into nine, and sometimes into 12. And these things are getting more and more powerful as they combine. So we're studying the fifth kingdom of nature as humanity begins to invoke it, to infuse, suffuse, merge with the normal fourth kingdom. It's the five and four together. Sometimes five is above, sometimes four is above. It depends on what we're considering. When it comes to kingdoms, five is above. When it comes to some of the principles, four, which is the Buddhic principle, is above, and five, which is the mental principle, is below. Okay, so in this triplicity of forces, which playing on triangle three, it is this playing on triangle three, this is where we normally live and move and have our being, attracts out of it those units of energy which, as a result of the activity of Capricorn, Mercury, and humanity itself, are ready to come under hierarchical influence and to be swayed consequently by different streams of force to those hitherto evoking response. So, you know, we need, think about what the hierarchy is called, the society of organized and illumined minds. So a lot of mental training has to go into being a true member of the hierarchy, and humanity in its place within the planetary scheme has been often called the throat center, which is associated with mentality, and certainly Mercury is associated with mentality, and Capricorn distributes not only the rays of will and order, but the third ray of creative intelligence. So there's, in this triangle here, there's a lot of mentality, Capricorn, Mercury, and humanity. And if we cultivate these qualities, we will be ready to invoke and hopefully evoke the energies of Triangle 2, which will begin to merge with us, and then we'll have an idea of what the soul really is, and it will be a present energy. It will not be something that we just talk about. We will begin to feel it. So mental preparation for hierarchical advancement, and there are so many people that are involved excuse me, with triangle number 3 here, but they are not yet at the place where they can begin to invoke the higher mind and the Buddhic plane, where triangle number 2 is functioning. So just because you're a human being doesn't mean that you're ready to merge triangle 2 with 3. But people of our type, students of the ageless wisdom, servers on behalf of the divine plan, we hopefully should be ready to merge these two triangles. There's a zodiacal merging, there's a planetary merging, and then we're very used to the idea that the hierarchy is now returning and there's going to be a merging of hierarchy and humanity. Okay, now, so let's see what he says in particular. Pisces is particularly potent at present in the life of humanity. Well, you know, it's one of the great cosmic decanates as far as our system is concerned, and it's Christ's major sign, but other reasons are given. Particularly potent at present in the life of humanity, owing to its being the sign which is now passing out of influence as we progress upon the great wheel of the zodiac. And this is not just passing out of influence in the lesser equinoctial cycle of some 2160 years, or sometimes it's enlarged to be called 2500 years. This is a 25,000 year period of Pisces, which is now passing out of influence, and an even greater cycle around the time of the Christ 2,000 years ago was a 250,000 year cycle, approximately what it takes for our solar system and its associated stars to go around the Pleiades, at least according to occultism. Some astronomers don't think that can happen, but occultism tells us that it does. So great big cycles are coming to an end, and great big cycles are beginning as well. So with regard to Pisces, it is this sign with its combination of energies, you know, rays 2 and 6, and Jupiter and Pluto and Neptune all involved, which has produced such a potent vibratory activity in humanity that it can successfully and eventually, okay, not immediately perhaps, enact the role of world savior. Now, you know, humanity must first become in a way the Aquarian world server, but eventually there will be the saving influence of humanity, especially in relation to the lower three kingdoms of the animal, vegetable, and mineral kingdoms. So Pisces may sometimes seem to be a weak sign, but as one of my friends who studied this from the physics point of view said, well, water is very non-compressible, and when you hit water, you know you've hit it. You know, it's a very dense experience. So we need to preserve what Pisces has given us: obedience, a great idealism, a reaching into higher worlds. And of course, you know, the opposites exist too, a reaching into such higher worlds that one doesn't pay attention to what's going on here. But let's just say that helping impulse under Jupiter, under Neptune, and the impulse of ending coming in under Pluto, one of the major rulers of Pisces. It is this sign with its combination of energies which has produced such potent vibratory activity in humanity, and it can successfully and eventually enact the role of the world savior. Okay. Of this salvation, Pisces is the sign. Now, you know, and sometimes we hear about the new group of world servers, and sometimes we hear about the new group of world saviors. And that's another step. And sometimes we understand that you can take your fifth initiation and essentially leave the human race per se behind in the sign Aquarius. It's good for the third, fourth, and fifth initiation along the line of world service. But when it comes to world saviorship and all the kinds of sacrifice which might be necessary, will be necessary, Pisces is the sign. He says, okay, it's also the sign of death. This is good or bad, because it's associated with Pluto. And as you know, he says, and in its death aspect, we see the Piscean correspondence to the first aspect. It carries a lot of the first ray and the second ray, particularly the destroyer aspect of the logos. Now, there were some horrible people, you know, that in World War II that were mass murdering many, you know, it's just incredible. And they were both Pisces. It's incredible. They were Eichmann and Heydrich. They, you know, said like to have no heart at all. Everything was just efficiency, and they were bringing, well, I suppose it was a great karmic expiation, but they were bringing many thousands and even millions of people into a condition of death and finality. So, you know, it's not that Pisces, it will always be wonderful. It will carry that death aspect, and the morality of the death aspect is up to the up to its purpose within the divine plan. The death aspect, he says, is naturally active at the close of the Piscean Age, indeed, as we've seen in the 20th century, and is consequently bringing about the present death of form in all the three worlds. We're liable to see many forms of nature deteriorate and essentially vanish. We try to hold on to them, but their time is up. So we have to develop an attitude of detachment under this Piscean theme, and especially in the area of religion, politics, finance, you know, these very important areas of human interaction. Lots of forms will disintegrate and decay, basically fall apart. We're witnessing that. The Tibetans' view of the three Abrahamic religions, namely the Jewish, the Christian, and the Muslim, is that they've all outlived their usefulness. He does say that. Of course, you can't talk to people who are devotees of those religions and be convincing about that, but they don't have in them that which should continue, unless perhaps there are a few essences which can be harvested on behalf of the New World religion. So just so we understand, you know, Pisces is extremely helpful, compassionate, and all that under Jupiter and Neptune, but it is drastic under Pluto and leads to the death of many forms that we may be trying to hold on to, you know, and then we have to see, are we approaching the end of the age with the proper type of detachment? But let's just say that the Christ has so many abilities, you know, and let's just say that identification and merging with the essence of others is one of his great abilities, and that is coming in via the Piscean energy. It is, above all, the sign of identification, you know. Once you reach initiation in Capricorn, we have universalization in Aquarius and identification in Pisces. Excuse me. Now we go on to Uranus, which in many ways is the higher octave of Mercury. I can't say that Pisces is the higher octave of Capricorn, and he says some things that make you doubt it, but the water is involved in both of those signs, Pisces and Capricorn. So Uranus is the planet of occultism. It was called, you know, that mystery planet, right? For it veils that which is essential. So basically he's telling us that occultism is the science of that which is of the essence, is essential, is causal behind the appearances. And it was known to the initiates of the old days long before it was discovered. So now it has been discovered, you know, in the 1780s, I guess, and now its nature is much more known, but its nature in terms of occultism, perhaps, is only beginning to be understood by those who are real students of the subject. So anyway, it hides, Uranus hides, that which must be discovered, and then we call it the new, you know, it's the archetype. We have to discover the archetypes behind the various arrangements which we've made and which condition our lives. But archetypes are much more precious, and they are much more essential, and they come out of the mind of the Creator. So Uranus is very much connected with the mind of the Creator, and interestingly, in this system, it seems to be connected with heart energy, and it's difficult to understand how that can be the case. It hides that which must be discovered, and at the right moment, it transmits knowledge of the hidden mystery. Well, you know how it is with lightning. Uranus is associated with lightning, and so much is hidden, let's say, during storms at night, until lightning illuminates the sky, and you see for a brief moment all that which was hidden from your gaze. Uranus is a bit like that. It transmits this flashing forth of ideas which were not suspected, and then they're seen to be part of the general mental landscape. So the initiates did know about it, and let's just say if you were the Hierophant, let's say you were Sanat Kumara, you would be using the energy of Uranus through the rod of initiation. If you were the Bodhisattva initiating, you would be using the energy of Neptune. So in a way, Uranus is a higher planet, but not necessarily higher in this solar system, because it's not yet a first-rate solar system. And when we do have that first-rate solar system, we're going to have a lot of Uranian activity, because these planetary gods, they go along with the solar logos through a number of solar systems. And even the Earth, you know, will be present, I do believe, in the next solar system. Maybe some planets will no longer be, but quite a few planets will accompany the solar logos into his third major solar system. And there you have a triangle as well. Three major solar systems, the one previous to our own solar system, and the next solar system. They're numbered 1, 2, and 3, but from another perspective, they should be called 4, 5, and 6, because there were earlier solar systems there, the first three. Okay, now, today, for the mass of men, and this is really an important point, occultism is non-existent. I mean, you know, people really, they're not going to know what you're talking about, and they will be frightened often and put off and think that you're dealing with something evil the minute you use the word occult or occultism. That's why I always say spiritual occultism when I talk about that which we are studying, because I want to incline the conversation towards the realization that we can use this deep, deep science in a way that advances humanity and the divine plan. So occultism is non-existent, though it's not in people's minds. You just have to look at how they conduct themselves, and you see that. For the aspirant and the disciple, occultism is rapidly becoming a source and system of revelation as they penetrate into the wisdom of the hierarchy. Now, wouldn't you say that has a lot to do with what we are doing? You know, revelation is coming as we penetrate into the wisdom of the hierarchy. This is what we're trying to do, and to make it well established in our consciousness, so that when we talk to others as part of this great spiritual propaganda effort, which is on its way right now, we can be intelligent, convincing, helpful, rightly directing, you see. So basically, we need to look behind the scenes, and Uranus is so often governing that which is behind the scenes. Pisces and Uranus, I've said here, are quite related in one respect, that they end the world of illusion, the illusions of time and of space. There's something that's dissolved about those categories in Pisces. And with Uranus, at the third initiation, time and space as categories of thought, or let's just say as categories of thought which force themselves upon you and won't let go of your consciousness, they are overcome. So under Uranus, all things are drawn to a point, and thus space is overcome. And it's also very much the planet of simultaneity. You know, under Saturn, we may take a thought, a compound, complex thought, and break it out in our categories of time and space. But under Uranus, it all arrives at the same time, simultaneously. And we have to learn how to intuit its nature. And then when we're thinking about how to apply the thought to concrete circumstances, we use Saturn to break the thought down, break down the intuition, and apply it in a manner that can be useful to many. Because not everybody, you know, is finding that they can access the intuition. It's a new thing, really. And when we get into the sixth root race, that access of the intuition will be much more probable. But that root race takes a long time. At one point, he says it's 10 million years for the sixth root race, which is a lot longer than the Aryan root race or the fifth. Okay, so the Uranus then, it fuses many separate perceptions into one perception, and I call it in some ways the principle of ubiquity. It means in a way to be everywhere at the same time, or to gather everything into one point which can be appreciated as containing multiplicity. So what else? The triangle of Pisces, Uranus, hierarchy. That's what we're studying now, you know, clearly this one, Pisces, Uranus, hierarchy. And, you know, this is one that we have to have a lot to do with if we're going to be successful students of esotericism. The triangle of Pisces, Uranus hierarchy is becoming magnetically attractive to the triangle of humanity. We are reaching that point where human beings are beginning to realize that deep within their nature, there is a higher power. You know, the 12-step programs are very successful in this, helping people overcome their addiction to that which stimulates the form and blots out the soul. So these 12 steps allow you to come in touch with this higher triangle. And really, I think if students of esotericism were to fulfill those 12 steps, there would be a lot more success in the field. So anyway, the energies of this triangle are descending. They are attracted by the type of human being who is ready, an advanced human being who is ready to interact with the realm of the soul. Pisces, Uranus, and hierarchy. Uranus and Mercury in combination are dualities. Well, as I said before, Uranus is definitely a highly mental planet, and it is considered to be the higher octave of Mercury. They have some of the same higher rays, I think. You know, one of the higher rays of Uranus may well be the fifth, and certainly it is the first ray. And Mercury has a very powerful, I think, monadic fifth ray. And Mercury has a lot of the third, and so does Uranus. They are definitely related to each other, but Uranus is, if anything, more powerful and more intuitive. Uranus and Mercury in combination are dualities, which the disciple learns to resolve. See, we can use the concrete mind, we can use the mind the way we usually do, or we can use the sudden revelatory mind. And in the process of this resolution, he shifts his focus out of the human kingdom into the fifth kingdom. So the initiator, Sanat Kumara, is welcoming the would-be initiate, the candidate, into the fifth kingdom, and he's really a member of the fifth kingdom by the time he takes the third initiation. He is applying to the fifth kingdom, we might say, when he's taking the initiations of the threshold, the probationary initiations, the first and second. But when that rod of power is wielded by Sanat Kumara, it is Uranus. It is the fifth ray. It is cosmic electricity. It's bringing us really into membership in the fifth kingdom. And this is the hierarchy of souls. And more people along this line will be needed, just as initiates of the fifth degree, masters, will be needed in some numbers. So now he's kind of blending these things, Uranus and Mercury. It gives all kinds of mental capacity. And Uranus has a lot to do with the very highest plane, which is the Sea of Fire. And it rules the final burning ground. So when you start putting Uranus and Mercury together, you do get a very strong, maybe five planes of mentality. And it takes you very, very high, onto the highest level. In a way, Uranus is a correspondence to the solar logos's mental permanent atom or mental unit, one of those two. Neptune is a correspondence to the astral permanent atom of the logos. And finally, he says that Saturn is actually the physical permanent atom ruling the whole cosmic physical plane of the solar logos. And that's quite a triangle, isn't it? Those are, it's not the synthesizing planets, but it's two of the synthesizing planets, Uranus, Mercury, and Saturn. Or we can look at this atomic situation and say it's Uranus, Neptune, and Saturn. Now he's going to blend here Pisces and Capricorn. Pisces and Capricorn in unison bring about those changes which, now here, you know, which is on top, you know, which is superior? Lift the disciple out of the waters. Those could be Piscean waters. They could be the waters that are crossed by the Capricorn applicant. Lift the disciple out of the waters, wherein he is rapidly drowning, onto the mountaintop, from whence he can watch the recession of the waters. So that's a higher form of Capricornian energy. And if we look at Pisces as tuning us in with all kinds of subtle energies, we can receive those from the mountaintop as well and not be submerged in what water usually means, that which drowns us and prevents us from seeing reality as it is. So thus does he know himself to be initiate. These two signs work in and out together with each other, but Pisces is in a way the sign of salvation and a still higher sign of identification than is Capricorn. But there are different ways that these signs express, or these constellations, and according to the mode of expression, so will be their function relative to each other. Okay, so many subtle energies are revealed, and we watch the recession of the waters in their usual sense, and entering the great, the great ocean of theosophy, as it is sometimes called, and Pisces rules that ocean, which is successively seen from further and further, higher and higher mountaintops. The present world crisis should and will see a close merging of the two triangles. Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to, through our meditative discipline and through our studies and through our service, we're trying to help people understand that they can merge triangle two and triangle three. So there's a crisis, and because the triangle two is approaching, that exacerbates the crisis. I'm doing some work now on externalization of the hierarchy, and he came to a section where he says, now here are eight reasons for the present unrest, and the return of the hierarchy is a big one. It's really worth seeing, you know, somewhere around page 70 there, or you might want to listen to the videos that are being produced. Okay, so here, you know, we've seen the three triangles, and we see that the merging is not complete. Hierarchy sought to stimulate humanity. Excuse me. Humanity sought to enter hierarchy. Excuse me. I think I have to have some water here. But the two-way street doesn't come until the future, where the merging actually occurs, and it's a threefold merging. And it's taken a long time. We're talking about, you know, 21 million years here, or from another perspective, 18 million years. Okay, now a little bit more, just a little bit more. In a most potent manner, and this partial synchronization, for close though it may be, we're talking about hierarchy and humanity, it will not yet be a process of general identification. And it, if we merge these six energies, now what are they? You know, they are, from the zodiacal perspective, they are Pisces Capricorn. From the planetary perspective, they are Uranus Mercury. And from the, our, well, that's the solar systemic perspective. And from the perspective of our own planet, they are hierarchy and humanity, but they're not yet really merged and fused. And when they do, and this is very interesting, talking about how triangles lead to general conditions in human consciousness, when the sixfold energy is produced, it is needed to bring in the new sixth race. Now, you know, a lot of South America is involved in that quite a bit, but so is Europe, and I would say, of course, all of humanity will be involved in it, but there's going to be the emerging of various centers that have been inactive before. So six energies properly fused, two triangles, six energies, we ponder on that, you know, help produce the sixth root race. Man is, he can identify, he can be sensitive, he can climb the mountain of initiation in Capricorn, he can be open to the intuition, he can use his mind in many different ways, and the hierarchy of love and humanity providing light will merge. So let's keep that in mind. Okay, and the new world period wherein fellowship and brotherhood will be manifest in all human relations. And I would say that at the end of the age of Aquarius, which I think will be particularly the time of the Christ, and it will be ruled by Venus, we're going to have a very strong display of that brotherhood, and perhaps we will find by that time a very strong merging of the second triangle and the third triangle of humanity. Okay, so, you know, the next reading, when we get together in a couple of weeks, I guess it will be, I'm going to, let's see, was it 437? We've just ended number 25, and we're on page 439. Okay, so this is number 25, the academic reading, and 437 to 439. Not a lot of pages, but the subjects are deep. And we have here the 11th of January 19. Okay, not 18, 19. And our next one will be number 26. And we will start at 439. And I'm not sure exactly. Michael, do you know when that is? It should be 2 weeks from now, roughly.
No. Under the new schedule, we will be next Friday on the afternoon. So it would be the 18th at 6 p.m. GMT.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll have to look at that. Okay. That's interesting. And this is going to be at 439. Right. So we're trying already to make available to the people in the States and in South America an opportunity to participate instead of having to stay up in the wee hours. Now, the next time we get together, we're going to deal with the triangle number one, which is very powerful indeed, and it's Leo, Saturn, and Shambhala. Okay. Now, friends, I think I've talked as much as I should on that. And I assume you've been taking notes and you may have some thoughts or questions about it or in general about occultism. Let's just say that when it comes to fusing triangles, it's going to be going on all over the planet, the solar system. They do not remain completely independent and unrelated to the other triangles. Now, sometimes it's particularly Mercury's task to fuse all these many, many different triangles into a oneness which allows a type of unity to really emerge through the triangles network. Okay, so, let's see. I'll look here for your hands. And we have 26 of us here on one side and two on the other. And if you'd like to Here we go. There's Tuya. Okay. And yourself muted, dear. So unmute yourself. There you go.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Good morning to everybody. Yeah, first about the scheduling, that's why we are doing that. As you were explaining, that we can have also for the triangle meditation the possibility for the other part of the world. And so yes. It's going to be now every second time we have the morning, every second time we have the evening.
Yeah, that's it.
I think it's easy to remember.
I think it's good.
But for,
go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So I was just thinking about the Uranus, two questions. What was the time when Uranus was in Pisces? And now, because now it is moving towards
Taurus. So 7 years ago,
and
14 years ago, it started. 14 years ago.
I was just trying to wonder what was happening in the world.
Mm-hmm. Early 2000s, and I suppose it is an invitation to use the second ray energy. Maybe I could find a way to tell you exactly when that occurred. I think,
and I was thinking what was happening in the world of internet and this kind of connectiveness in mm-hmm. the world.
It's going to take a little
because something on that
yeah.
something about that area has to have been happening, and when we study only that part, that how much hierarchy is trying to connect the whole planet.
Mm.
Via that, we become only one unit in our consciousness, because before internet, our communication was based upon telephone, radio waves. So it was, in one sense, it was very rapid. But when we think about whole humanity, mm. how via the internet we became really in at the same real time.
Yes, and I think we also experienced Saturn in Leo at the same time that Uranus was in mm-hmm. Pisces. And then probably there was a time when in all of that, Mercury for a short time went into Capricorn. So as I recall, there was a triple triangle there. We have to learn to think in planetary terms. This is what it boils down to. This is not about your own little private life, you know. It's something much more.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I didn't know that the Saturn was then in Leo, which is then relating us to Shambhala. So thinking about in that sense and that line, the whole unity, or this unitedness, or how do you say in English,
union,
is not only hierarchical effort. It has to be the mind of Sanat Kumara as well.
Take a look at this one.
Because
this is January, and all three are in the right place. January 2006.
All three.
Uranus, Saturn, and Mercury. They're all in the appropriate signs. Of course, obviously, Mercury will stay a much shorter time.
Mm-hmm.
Saturn stays 2.5 years, and Uranus stays 7 years. Yeah.
Right. So again, going back to that, when we are living the times of the forerunner, so, mm-hmm. and it is said in the Bible, and you see signs in the skies,
mm-hmm.
so we see all kinds of formations,
mm-hmm.
formulating in the skies, but also these factors in horoscopes, that we can see that how behind the scenes all of these energies are functioning all the time, and they are preparing our minds.
Yes, DK is very important. I mean, he's spending a lot of time on this triangle because it seems to be the way of uniting hierarchy with Shambhala and hierarchy with humanity. This particular triangle seems to be that. And there are a few, you know, a few possibilities of also uniting humanity and Shambhala in a lesser sense through these impacts.
Exactly. I was just thinking that the new group of world service, because it is the task of that group to keep the vision of a new coming age or the betterment for humanity, and all of this thinking about the internet, how much it is educating at the same time, that those who are poorer or they don't have the access, maybe in some of the places they don't have money to go. I just had saw one documentary about them from Africa, how many thousands of little or young children are using internet for their studies in the local village, if there is the cafe or something that they are going and take some information from there. So that is a huge advancement for whole humanity, and that is so Iranian thing
and
well.
Mercurian. And the other, both of those.
Oh planets. Yes. So then the other thing was about that when we think about connection, Uranus and connection with the hierarchy, who is the heart center, and thinking that Uranus is the highest ruler in Leo, who is the heart sign. And these impulses, these electrical impulses, which are the whole heart is covered by that. All things what are going on in our nervous system and in the heart starts with those impulses, which are going all around the body and the heart itself. So in that sense, it is very easy to think why do we have in this connection, in this triangle, the Uranus. That could be one point of
the heart and Leo. Those are important connections, because normally Uranus, in terms of its rays, is not a second ray or a sixth ray kind of planet. It has first ray, seventh ray, third ray, fifth ray, see, that kind of thing. But it is definitely connected with the life aspect, and the heart is the life. So it does, it's an unusual placement, but I think we can justify it.
So these were my thoughts, some of my thoughts.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay, let's take a look. Does anybody have anything they would like to say or ask? Or am I missing anything, Michael?
I don't see anyone with their hands raised or questions posted.
You know, I realize that we're going at this pretty much from the astrological and ray angle, but that is how the astounded disciple who is becoming the initiate will see the passage of the energies from the mountaintop, like rivers and streams of force and all kinds of triangles will emerge. So although it seems a little bit technical, let us say, if we memorize the rays that pass through the different constellations, if we memorize the planetary rulers of the different constellations, we'll be in a position to see how they might form relationships which advance the divine plan. Now, apparently, these three triangles really do advance the divine plan, because somehow they bring Shambhala, hierarchy, and humanity together. Now, we haven't yet talked about the blending of 3 into 9, but we'll begin to think about that next time. Right, we're now talking about the blending of 2 triangles into 6. And, you know, this is a very advanced science. DK is one of the foremost exponents of this. And we just need to think of our relationships, our community, our group relations, our international relations, relations within humanity. We need to think of these in terms of triangles. It's a new way of thinking. So don't get discouraged about the technicalities here, because those few things you can memorize. As he says, look, is this a lot harder than studying a textbook on chemistry in college? He says, no, I don't think so. It's not harder. So we just need to solidify in our consciousness these rulerships, these rays, and have that be a very solid understanding. And then we'll be in a good position to understand more deeply the types of connections that can occur. Okay. Let's see. Anybody else that wants to ask anything about or state anything about occultism in general? I know we're getting back to all this now. You know, we had, Tui and I had a very, very demanding period involving the solstice, and then the full moon, and then we also had the Saint Cecilia Day, Saint Lucy Day, and we had already the New Year, and quite soon, you know, there's a very important vote coming up in one of the 3 nations that DK said will control the fate of humanity, and that is United States and United Kingdom. That's where the vote is going to occur, and then Russia. Okay, so we're planning, and we'll let you know about it, to have some kind of meditation or vigil on Tuesday. I think it's Tuesday the 14th. Is that it? Something like that. January. Let's see. Oh, no, Monday, it's Tuesday,
yes,
the 15th.
On Tuesday.
Tuesday the 15th.
Yes, Tuesday, on Tuesday.
Tuesday the 15th. So you're welcome to join us. We haven't decided yet whether it's going to be a webinar or partially a webinar or partially a broadcast. But in any case, we want to work for the forces of unity rather than fragmentation. And so we have to think of these important nations and their relationship with each other, and not fall back into some kind of isolationism. So we'll let you know about that, okay?
And, Mike,
yeah, go ahead.
Michael, one thing related to this, I was just thinking if you could go through how Uranus is acting, because via Russia, is important, and how Uranus is playing,
yeah,
and Pisces in these countries.
Well, let's see, there's not so much Pisces except in the connection with the United States, I suppose, since the United States is the heir to the Piscean civilization and the sixth ray civilization, which means that all of these old things, which have to be outlived, are very concentrated in the United States at this time. But Uranus, you have to relate it to the sole sign of the United States, which is Aquarius. And although Uranus is the exoteric ruler, it's also one of the major hierarchical rulers veiled by the moon for the United States. Now, so that spirit of enterprise and invention and freedom and all that kind of thing, that's very Uranian. When it comes to the United Kingdom, The signs there are Taurus and Gemini, but the sign of signs of London, I think, are Leo and Libra, and in both of those, Uranus has its strong place. Uranus is the hierarchical ruler of Leo, and Uranus is the esoteric ruler of Libra. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that they rule the city of London, which is also a major planetary center. Now, the same thing is going on as in the United States when we look at Russia, because it has a sole, it has a sole sign of Aquarius. And not only that, but it has the seventh ray as its sole ray. Therefore, Uranus will be doubly important in terms of the innovations, the technical possibilities, whether for good or for ill, of Russia. And many psychic discoveries, and in general, the examination of the etheric body in a manner that will be revelatory. This we can expect to come out of Russia once it begins to apply its soul ray correctly. You know, and probably there's more we could say, but the Uranus is involved in all of them, okay? In all of them. Okay, do we have anybody that wants to say anything further? Otherwise, we're going to go on to our little meditation. And, okay. All right. You know, I wonder just for a moment, maybe Alex, I wonder if you'd like to give us just a short rundown on the importance of the coming election in the UK, since I know you have been following it.
Okay.
Good morning.
Can you hear me all right?
Now we do, yeah. Good.
Okay, fine. Good morning. How are you?
Well, living.
Okay, I'm glad you called on me. So I'm going to a meeting. I wanted to tell you and to you, by the way. I'm going to a meeting at Westminster in a little while. Wow. It's an all-day convention with the top MPs and famous people who are leading drive for a people's vote. I'm a little concerned about that, but I want to go because I want to find out about it. I want to find out the details. I want to ask some questions because this is what expected is what is expected on Tuesday at 7 o'clock. I sent you an email at 7 p.m. The vote will take place unless Theresa May decides to postpone it again. they're still debating. They're still debating everything. It's been very dramatic. Parliament is on fire. And I've written about how magnificent it is to listen to the King's English being spoken so politely to the between the right honorable members. Mm. And the voice of words and words being used to combat unreason with reason. It's been extremely dramatic because the Speaker of the House has defended the right of Parliament to have a say in what happens after Tuesday. That's caused a lot of trouble. The government wasn't very happy. They tried to stop that from happening. But a motion was passed that on Tuesday, if the deal fails, and it's fully expected to fail. Mm-hmm. So if this Brexit deal were to pass, that would be quite, That would be quite shocking.
Mm-hmm.
The way the way the votes add up at the moment, there just isn't the support for this deal. So everyone is already thinking about what's going to happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And this, and I also fully expect it to fail. And everyone's thinking about what's happening next. And what the motion did was it said that instead of the legal 21 days that the government can take to come back and say, what next? Parliament is forcing the government to come back in 3 days and say, what's next? Government's not legally bound to that. They can actually refuse. But if they did, that would be also be very dramatic. So I just want to say that on Parliament live.tv, or it's either parliamenttv.live, you can watch it online, but already fireworks have passed quite a lot. So here's the situation, is that it's expected to fail. It's expected to happen at 7 p.m. GMT. It could be a bit later. And then there will be a lot of kerfuffle and a lot of discussion immediately and 3 days later about what's going to happen next. And I'm studying a paper at the moment that says the route to a people's vote. But I just want to say that really, to my mind, the thing that must happen is that the whole thing must collapse. It must collapse in some way. But as I said, I'm going to a convention where the people's vote, there's going to be thousands of people, thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands supporting this idea of another people's vote. However, there's a film that's just come out, it's very controversial, called Brexit, the Uncivil War. And it's a bit like if you watch The Inconvenient Truth or one of these films by Michael Moore, and you start to, it is a satire about Brexit, and it satirizes the main characters. But what it actually shows is a lot of truth about what actually happened. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because it's so relevant to us and to Glamour and to all of our work and everything, which is that what it does show is that it was propaganda and manipulation, and men in white suits and white men in suits and gray suits with a lot of money. And it shows how the campaign was run. And it's quite horrifying, because the fact is they're talking about going through this again, going through the whole thing again. And all the best people are behind that idea.
Yes.
So honestly, as an esoteric student or a member of the public, I honestly don't know what happens from here, what we can do, what needs to be done, who's in control, and what's going to happen. Because this film, which was fictional, but a dramatization of what happened, really showed accurately the terrible things that went on behind the scenes, the division of the camps and the deciding of the words they would use and the propaganda they would use, and then the anger that arose. It made clear that there is anger there in people. There's anger in society. It's so similar to what's going on in the United States. And then something happens like this, and it taps into that anger. And people get involved, and people get swept away, and people say things and vote for things. And we don't actually know anything. We as people on the ground don't actually know the forces. The physical forces, not the esoteric forces, not the hierarchical forces, but we don't actually know the forces that are manipulating and making decisions in government and military and corporations and so forth. And so how do we function, clarify, and influence others? And it's so important.
It is, and it is a triangle, Well, he says the future of humanity depends upon this triangle. And so
yeah.
The UK has to be holding its proper place, whatever that may be. And right now, the relationship between the three is not the best that it's been. So we will we'll be working with you. We'll contact you, and we'll offer to everybody via the Constant Contact what we will do on Tuesday. And he tells us, you know, the modern mystic is really interested in world affairs and distinguishes himself or herself from the mystics of the past by realizing how important the involvement in world affairs really is. And our method, of course, is via our meditation and the projection of thought. So we'll be in touch with you, Alex, and thanks for that rundown. You know, what's going on in the U.S. and U.K. right now are in crisis proportions, and we have to find the best way to help, which we'll work on that. Okay, thank you for your help on that. Now, Tuya, I have here this. If you would like to, I have here,
yes.
You know, starting from the light, if you like, or, you know, a short meditation on the bringing in of the important triangle, where would you like to begin?
First of all, I would like to comment, thank you, Alex, again. Put us into the terms of the time and think about times of 2,000 years ago. And you can keep, Michael, have this light image there, right, that one. And let us think what we know about what happened then of the time of the John the Baptist. The group, we are supposed to be the John the Baptist. And when he was working, if you think about the last, final years of his, how many forces were rising around him. So the same way, these forces are now arising because the group as the forerunner is coming to its the end of the time, what has been given for us, which is again related to these higher cycles which are happening, or higher triangles which are affected or stimulated behind the scenes, what we are not conscious of, and by studying the triangles we should become to be conscious of what kinds of things they are affecting. So what we see absolutely, like in the Piscean age, we are going to see two kinds of things are rising and they are fighting. We see the personality forces of humanity, and we see then the soul-based energies in the groups at the same time. The governments and who has had the rulership is from the personality side of humanity. There is not any society or not any government who is expressing the soul qualities. So, and what is our role in that? I was just thinking while you, Alex, you were talking, our role is to, in my opinion, really stimulate and mobilize our triangles, because that's the way how we are able to function. And that is what DK says, it is about how the great Buddhas can also affect humanity. So Michael, what about if we would be going so that we will start with the triangle of light, in the idea that we are, that the group is one, all of us who are now gathered. And Michael, I cannot see in my screen the names. Could you please just say all the names who are now gathered? And we will, in our minds, just look us ourselves as one unit.
Okay. So Alex, Anna, Anne-Marie, Annette, Antoinette, Ariel, Barbara, Catherine, Helen, Jean-Pierre, Karen, Leslie, Lona, Mariana, Mariut, Natia, Nienka, Risto, Tiu, yourself, Tung, Tung Pham Tan, Vietnam, Vera, Winnie, Zenaidi, and Anne Veronica, and then Michael and I on the other side. Okay.
Right. So we think us that we are only one unit, and we link with the soul of the group and with Master DK. And forming thus a triangle of light. So strongly we sense that the group is one unit, and with the head center of the group and with the Master DK, there is forming a strong, solid triangle of light. And that triangle has the base on the mental plane. And the lower point, the apex, is touching the top of the head of the group. And through that streams in the light orange golden color, light pouring down and flooding the whole body of the group. And we let it flush and energize our group field. We all like bathe in the light as we would bathe in the waters of the sea. This light is permeating our physical equipment. And may it help us to understand more when we are handling this life problem upon earth. We all can see that we are really on the verge of going to the totally new way, or this old way will trap the humanity, the consciousness of the humanity. In that standing together, we contact the spiritual triplicity, which is that which hovers over the square and radiates the energy of light into the waiting field of active thought. And in that, we focus on our own triangles. And call the members of our triangle or triangles by name and with love. And let us have 3 minutes silence for doing that. We visualize the flow of love and goodwill passing between the members of your triangle or triangles. Visualize now the flow of spiritual light passing between the members of your triangle or triangles. And we recognize how our triangles every time become etherically more living when we contact with the triangle members. By active will, we link our triangles with the global network of golden triangles. And let us try to really feel and sense, recognize this living web around the planet. And really know that you are a part of this great entity. And now, one of the main parts of this, we recognize our connection with the three Buddhas of activity in Shambhala, who can energize the triangles network for protective purposes. We have been talking a lot about these great triangles, and this is one of those very active triangles when we think about the unit that we form individually with our triangle work and the network of triangles, global network, and then this connection with these high, three high and great Buddhas. And there is direct line for eight. And now when we sound the great invocation, let us have this very clearly in our minds, the focus for that triangle, that the triangle work is related to the coming science of invocation. So we invoke as one unit. Let the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center, where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center, which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. We see the global network of golden triangles covering the entire planet. We visualize at least 100,000 living triangles functioning within the square-like etheric body of Earth and transmuting it into the triangular form. And we see the planet Earth as a sacred planet and humanity redeemed. And inaudibly we sound three times Om. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Tuya. And now we will bring this to a conclusion and I think in the chat box I have something for you for tonight's Dissipation of Glamour webinar. So you can copy that. And we will do our best via the constant contact to let you know about our plans for the vote for the latest developments in the United Kingdom. So we appreciate your presence. Lots of love, many blessings, and we will resume tonight at 6 o'clock p.m. Dissipation of Glamour webinar. That's GMT. Okay. All the best. We'll see you later. Thank you for your attendance. And bye-bye.